Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show, hosted by author, investor, money partner, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris, equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
In June of 1995, I had a very unusual experience. My son Aaron graduated from high school, and I bought him a Honda Civic, cost me $15,700. And a couple days later, I bought a three-bedroom house in Riverside County for $13,300. That event changed my professional and personal life more radically than I could have ever imagined. My name is Bruce Norris. I'm a real estate investor. I'm the president of a company called the Norris Group, and welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. The purpose of a radio show is to share the knowledge that we've learned over 25 years. I've been an investor in real estate, been involved in about 2,000 real estate transactions where I was either the buyer of the property or we put up the money for investors that take our training. In 1980, I began to be a real estate investor. I worked for a company buying properties below market, and I've taken that skill to make myself and my family financially independent. But along the way, and probably even more importantly, I've had the privilege of sharing what I know in front of many investment clubs in California. And we've had a lot of successful students become financially independent, and their families get to live a different life because of what I learned in 1980 through 2006. And so I decided to do a radio show because this is a transitional year, just like 1995 was for my life. What people are going to be experiencing in the next 4 years is going to be different than the last 5 years of real estate. And if you're not prepared for that transition, it can hurt you. If you are prepared for that transition, it's a world of opportunity for the people that are ready, that are educated. What we're going to do in this program is we will systematically interview the most appropriate people for the year 2007. Our first guest is Scott Whaley. And Scott has a group of investors that he gets together and allows them to speak in front of his audience called the Real Wealth Expo. And I thought he was an appropriate first guest because it's sort of like education central from all the people that have different expertises. And so we're going to talk to him next week regarding his expos and the education that he provides for people. Along the way this year, we'll be talking to fellow investors that have made themselves multimillionaires. We'll be talking to all the different facets of the real estate business that are appropriate to understand when you're an investor trying to buy property, how you get money, what escrows are for and how to use them, how to build a team of professional people that you can rely on. We also are going to talk to perhaps some economists. I get the privilege once in a while to debate people about what the future holds. In 1995, when I bought that property for $13,300, to be honest with you, it scared me to death. The property was on a VA list, which is a very public list. The property, I think, was listed for $15,000. No one else bid on the property, so I got to underbid it, and I bought a property for $13,300 that would rent for $500. The fact that I had no one else to compete with scared me to death, and it made me realize that as an investor, I probably didn't have a clue why real estate, which was so highly thought of in 1989, had now descended to where no one was interested in a $15,000 house on a very public list with a known bidding date. And so I thought, you know what? I want to do some research. I want to see if someone else had figured out why prices go up and down in California. I looked at the price chart from 1974 to 1980. Prices tripled in California. We nearly doubled in price again in the 1980s. And I figured that somebody must have figured out that that was coming. And maybe they wrote a paper about it. So they told their group in advance that this was coming and this is what you should do. So I began a search. I went to the libraries. We didn't have the internet back then. And I searched any article that was written about real estate price from 1970 to 1995. I wanted to see if somebody had told in advance that a boom was coming. After 25 years of research, and it didn't take me 25 years, I was in the library probably 3 hours a day for a month, it dawned on me that no one had ever said in advance that a boom was coming. I was either left with no answer or I was going to have to try and figure it out myself, and I decided to do the latter. Armed with a 25-year price sheet, I decided to take a look at every other statistic that might affect real estate price. And so I got together 25 years of data for each of those topics, affordability, migration, employment, on and on. I compiled those charts, and I never drew a conclusion until I went to Maui, December of 1996. I wanted to look at all those charts simultaneously. And what I did was kind of simple, but that's as honestly who I am. I didn't know how to overlay those charts on a computer, so I laid them on the ground. And what I was looking for a sequence of events that when you have prices boom, there's something that I call an initial event that kicks off that event and makes it obvious it's going to happen, makes it inevitable that it's going to happen. And the same thing on a downturn. I was looking for an initial event that caused a downturn, because in real estate, it's important to have a warning system. And I've been there in 1989 and a half when I started building custom homes, and I read all the articles in the newspaper and listened to the experts telling me that California had a shortage of building lots and that everything would be perfect for years to come. And by the time I got done with my homes, there was no one that looked at them. And so it cost me a lot of money, and I learned that location wasn't the most important word in real estate. The homes that I built in 1990 were in a gated area and very sought after up until the summer of 1990. But what is the most important word is timing. And so in 1997, January of 97, after looking at the charts, I felt confident that my conclusions were correct. And we shared those conclusions in a report called The California Comeback: Why Prices Will Double Between January of 1997 to January 2005. And I put in there that if we saw an interest rate below 6%, that we could do even better. I think history has proved that that report was very accurate, even conservative. And one of the points is that when I came out with that report in January of 97, there were no takers. There was no one that agreed that that was possible. And they all had their reasons why that would not work out. By the year 2000, we had lots of people on board saying, of course, that was going to occur. I think what's most important is that they would have to admit that they didn't see the turning point. In January 2006, we have written another report called The California Crash. I've seen a turning point that I saw coming that is repetitive, and that once we hit it, a downturn is inevitable. We hit that mark in August 2005, and we'll talk about what that inevitable event is and the ramifications of hitting it during this talk. When I wrote the report in 97, people said, oh, you're an optimist. In 2006, they said, oh, you're a pessimist. To be honest with you, I'm neither. I'm a real estate investor who takes his money, invests it in the marketplace, and if I'm wrong, I lose money. If I'm right, I can make a fortune. And so I do not make casual decisions. I make calculated ones, and I do not make emotional decisions. I make calculated ones. And so that's what we're going to be bringing you on this radio show, and I think why it fills an important niche. We have a very good idea of why things occur in the real estate market, and we're going to be passing on what we see coming in advance so you can make correct decisions, whether you're a real estate agent, an investor, a lender. All of these professions change radically when we either go up or down in price. People make money in very different ways when the market changes. Because of our education and because of us having successful students, we've ended up putting up a lot of money for real estate investors over the last 10 years, somewhere around $130 million. And so that's one of our functions. We're constantly thinking about what the next service would be. And as a real estate investor in this next cycle, one of my goals is not to hold properties for a long period of time. And so we've begun an auction company. On March 31st, we're going to be holding an auction, and we're going to be selling predominantly properties in as-is condition. So properties that will be priced below market and that people can buy, fix up, and save money to move into, or maybe fix them up, resell them, and make a profit. So that's the kind of service that we have. Let me mention a website address, www.thenorrisgroup.com. You can go there and link to our education materials and also our auction site. So in 2006, I've written a negative report, and we've been speaking in front of different investment groups late in 2005 and 2006. We started talking about this change. And what's important to realize is that when I'm speaking to groups, I usually ask them how long they've been in the real estate business, how long they've been a real estate investor. Most of the audience has no experience beyond 2000. Very few experience before 1997. The audience that I've been speaking to over the last 10 years predominantly has only seen real estate in its most positive form, in its biggest boom ever. And that has some ramifications. They're not used to real estate going down, first of all. If you're an investor since 2000, you think real estate perhaps only goes up. And if you listen to the media, you'll get plenty of evidence to support that. But what if it doesn't go up? How will things turn out for your properties? How will you maybe market them in a downturn market as opposed to an upswing market? It's a very different, very, very different way that you market properties in a down market. In 2006, you have the competition to sell against growing every month. The MLS sometimes, it depends on the county, might have doubled or tripled in the last 12 months. And a lot less properties are being sold. And so now you have a challenging market to sell against. If you've just been used to selling properties between 2000 and 2005, you didn't need to do very much to sell that property. You just need to tell somebody you wanted it sold. The last property that I owned that I wanted to sell in California was in San Bernardino in 2005. I had a renter in the property, and I decided I wanted to sell it. I let them know that I was going to put the property in the MLS on a Saturday. I wanted the home vacant, and on Saturday night, I would pull the listing out of the MLS. That's how confident I was the property would sell. On that Saturday, we had 70 showings. We had 7 offers that were in excess of my asking price. That's what worked in 2005. 2006 is a completely different story, and 2007 will grow in competition and difficulty in selling. If you do not know that that transition has occurred, it's going to be very tough for you to sell properties. Many homeowners and investors alike are not used to being cautious about money that they borrow. In San Diego, I spoke in probably early 2006, and there was a young woman who talked about getting hurt borrowing $700,000 on a condo that had 600 square feet that wouldn't rent for $2,500 a month. And her comment, I think, was typical of most people. She said, I had no idea that real estate could go down. I had no idea that my property might stay vacant for the entire length of time that I owned it. And so in San Diego, that market has changed a great deal. And so it's very important to make a transition, how you think about the property. Make sure that you can cope with the price going down. Make sure you can cope with the difficulty in selling it, or you're going to have longer holding times. And you be more cautious about the money that you borrow. One of the things that's most important for a real estate investor in this next market is to price the properties correctly. We track the retail prices constantly in properties that we have to sell for ourselves. We recently bought a property that at the time that we purchased it, it would appraise for, say, $460,000. We're currently in escrow at $419,900. In the cycle that it took to fix the property, the competition to sell increased to where that was the new market price. And we had the margin to where we could afford that, but it's very important that you realize that that change has already occurred. There's been a lot of talk about something called a soft landing, and let's talk a little bit about that. In the next 4 years, a soft landing is very unlikely, and here's just a number of reasons why that's true. In the next 4 years, you're probably going to see an increase of about 1,500% in foreclosures. That means you're going to have 15 times the number of properties go to the courthouse steps. And many of those in a downturn like we're going to experience is going to be going back to the bank. And the lenders are going to sell them most of the time at a discount to get rid of them. So having a soft landing is very unlikely in a market where you have increasing inventory that's lender owned. So it's very important to prepare yourself that prices are probably going to gradually get softer and softer over the next 4 years. It would make sense to me that you'd have a softer price environment when you're dealing with so much competition. You're going to see an increasing trend where owners are underwater. They will owe more on a property than it's worth. we had that phenomenon in the 90s, 91 through 97, that increasingly became a problem. If you were a property buyer and you ran ads that you bought houses, you were constantly dealing with somebody that said, my house is worth $200,000 and I owe $240,000. What can you do for me? Well, that's coming again. And so this market, as it changes, as a real estate investor, you have to adjust. One of the things you might provide for somebody as a service is a short sale, because that's going to be a very common theme. And one of the things that these owners have done is they put themselves in a position where the payments that they are going to have in the next few months and years are going to be going up a great deal. You'll see article after article in the newspaper talking about subprime lending. And there's a lot of lenders that are going out of business. And one of the reasons they're going out of business is because they have to back the paper that they sell. They have to guarantee it in a way that the people that buy their mortgages are supposed to end up getting what they're supposed to get, the payment stream from their investment. If that doesn't happen, these lenders are being asked to repurchase those mortgages. A lot of these lenders are not in a position to do that. And so the subprime business, which really has grown a tremendous amount, we created a questionnaire that we wanted investors who thought they were sure of what was coming. And this is what's so important, is to realize that a lot of times the media tell you events that seem to be certain to mean what they're telling you is correct. It seems like, okay, of course, that's exactly what that means. Let me use an example. If I said this statement, the more people that can afford the median price home, the better real estate would do. Sounds like a true statement. The more people that can afford the median price home, the better real estate would do. It sounds like, of course, that's got to be true. It's actually absolutely false. It's actually the opposite. If you were looking at a chart of affordability, you would see affordability decline from 1998 all the way till 2006. In a straight line, we went down from 40% to 14% affordability. Affordability declining means that you have great demand for your product, that people want it. They'll pay ever more for it, and they'll stretch their budget even greater percentages to own it. At some point, you reach a point where you cannot pass on the home to enough people. The affordability gets too low. And we talked early in this radio show about that initial event. The initial event of a downturn, in my opinion, is when affordability gets to its historic low. For an average, for a year, it's 16 or 17%. On monthly occasions, we've got to 14%. But what ends up happening is you end up losing the ability to have velocity in the marketplace. You end up with no capacity to keep on passing this property on to the next willing buyer. They want it, but they can't qualify anymore. And so reaching that affordability low has ramifications. In the cycle between 91 and 98, affordability climbed from 17 to 40%. 17 to 40% climb during the entire time where foreclosures went up 1,500%, and prices went down in some places 35%. Higher affordability didn't help that real estate market. So the statement that the more people that can afford properties is a good thing is completely false. And here's why that's important. In the next year, 2 years, 3 years, you're going to hear that affordability is growing. If you take that to be a positive event, which you're going to be told it is, you'll be making exactly the wrong decision. Affordability going up means you have less demand for your home. You're going to be selling against more and more competition and to a crowd that's less interested than they normally would be. So it's very important to be able to make decisions on your own. The California Crash Report came out in January of 2006. It's our intention every year to give you updated information about what's happening in the marketplace and how things are changing. On February 17th, in an all-day seminar, 8 to 5, we'll be updating the California Crash Report. We have about a 150-page document that will take all day to go over, talking about the marketplace, the changes that we see, and going over some of the misconceptions that investors have. You can check out the seminar at the website, www.thenorrisgroup.com. I'd also like you to go to www.thenorrisgroup.com/10. test. I've put together a 12-question test. And basically, it's designed to test your knowledge about what events mean. I'll give you an example of a question. Subprime lenders did as many loans nationally in 2005 and 6 as did FHA and VA combined. FHA and VA were once a dominant lender in California. The last down cycle in 91 to 97, there were so many HUD properties that went back to HUD that they had to have auctions. So the answer to this question is very important. Subprime lenders did as many loans nationally in 2005, 2006, as did FHA and combined. The reason that's important is that when you look in the newspapers and you see the subprime lenders having problems, where literally they're closing on a weekly basis, there could be a lot of loans that go bad that end up being sold at auctions if, in fact, this trend continues. Well, the question again was subprime lenders did as many loans nationally in 2005 and 6 as did FHA and VA combined. The truth is they did 8 times as many. And so if you do not know that, you may think the subprime lenders having a problem is no big deal. They did 25% of all loans nationally in 2005, again in 2006. They've become one of the dominant players. The problem with the subprime loan is that its payment structure changes very radically. Most of the loans were made on what's called a LIBOR index. Let's say, for example, you had a 5.25% starting rate. You ended up typically with a 2.28 loan, 2 years fixed, 28 years adjustable. The problem is that first adjustment. That first adjustment can take your loan interest payment from 5.25 to 10.25 on the first jump. Your payment literally could go up nearly double. And in a market that hasn't had equity gains sufficient to where you can refi, that can be a real problem. That's the kind of question you'll find on this test. It's going to challenge what you know is true. And here's why that's important. All of these questions are going to be covered by the media, and they're going to be giving you the answers to these questions in the next coming years. They're going to be telling you that these events mean certain things. You have to be independently capable of deciding on your own whether they're telling you the truth or not. I'm sure they're not misinforming you intentionally, because some of the statements make perfect sense. It just like that affordability number. It makes sense that affordability going up is a good thing. But in the market, when we deal with looking at the true information, tells you just the opposite. The 12-question test is designed to help you make better decisions. If you don't get 100% on this test, don't worry about it. Very, very few people will ever get 100% on this test. As a matter of fact, if they did, I can guarantee you their reasoning is incorrect. Here's why the test is important. If you're a real estate investor, you have to be capable of deciding on your own what's important and what isn't important. If you're a real estate agent or a lender, you're going to be making your living in a much different way if you're in a boom market or a down market. The media is trying to tell you that they know what these facts mean, and I can tell you from experience, they honestly don't. So that's the purpose of the test. Take the test, and if you get a good percentage of it wrong, it'd be real important to show up at the event, because we're going to correct those misconceptions and make you capable of making better decisions. I want to thank you for listening this week. Next week, we'll be talking to Scott Whaley. He's the owner of the Real Wealth Expo, and we look forward to talking with Scott. Thank you again for your time, and we look forward to talking to you many times this year.
Making correct real estate decisions are vital. Join Bruce and the Norris Group at Disney's California Grand Hotel on February 17th for our annual market update. Visit www.thenorrisgroup.com/test and take our online real estate market timing quiz. You might be surprised at the outcome. Visit our website at www.thenorrisgroup.com for more details, or call 951-780-5856 to sign up today. Once again, that number is 951-780-5856. Space is limited, so call today, 951-780-5856. You've been listening to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com or email questions and or comments to radio@thenorrisgroup.com. We'll see you next week at 5:30 here on News Talk 590 KTIE.